All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks, a doing local podcast. Good morning. It is December the 29th, 2024. Beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is, what is today? Sunday. I guess New Year's is coming up. I have not done the podcast in a while because honestly, I've just been too busy, and that's a good thing. Between working and the holidays, and my older son came down, and he's been staying here. He actually stays sort of next door to this little room here, so I don't know. I just feel a little weird sitting in a room chatting into a microphone while my oldest son's around, so I've just, you know, I just haven't done it. Not that he cares. He knows I do this podcast, but I just had a lot going on, so I thought I would try to sit down and see if I can catch up in 30 minutes and see what we can discuss. A lot has happened. It's been a great... I hope everyone had a nice holiday. It's not quite over. I guess we get back to work soon. I have actually been working. I don't get the luxury of taking off like a lot of people do, which I think is, you know, fine. I've grown used to it. I did take off Christmas Eve and Christmas, but I worked the following day and have been working. Which is fine. I'm blessed. I have a great job. I love it. It's probably the funnest thing I do all day. So no regrets there. But yeah, just been, you know, in the festive holiday spirit. A few things have been going on. I can't remember if I've talked about this, but I have shared that, I've been, working and taking care of my father. And I've been trying to get him into the veterans home. And finally, a week ago Thursday, we got to put him in, or didn't put him in. We got to take him up and, how do you say that? How do you say that without sounding cold? Basically, we took him, put him in the VA home. It was what he wanted. I think preferably he would have liked to have been at his house, but I don't have the amount of money that it would cost to give him the care that he is getting at the VA. And I'm just so grateful. You know, the thoughts of the veterans home can be sometimes negative. I did go up and take a look at the place. Wonderful, wonderful facility. Amazing people. Once I checked it out, I was like, man, we got to get him in there. And the guy came and had a visit with my dad. And so we'd just been waiting. And finally, we got the green light and put him in on Thursday, and he's just, you know, he's just doing a whole lot better. I don't know what the outcome, I know what the outcome's going to be, unfortunately. We all pass, and I think we have to get our mind around that. But, you know, I know for however much time he has, this is going to be the best place for him, and he agrees. He's very happy. There's some fellas up there he gets to chat with and start participating a little bit with life again. Where he was at, they just sort of let him stay in his bed and wear his hospital gown and really not participate. But not here. They get him up every morning, get him dressed, out to have breakfast, hang out, watch TV, socialize, do whatever it is that they do. But we just don't get to lay in bed at the veterans home. And so it's a huge improvement. His spirits are up. Physically, he's, really struggling, but I'm hoping, unfortunately, he sort of went into the home at the same time as, like, Christmas, so, everybody's sort of on vacation, so they're kind of working with the, a skeleton crew for the holidays, but once the new year starts, they'll have everyone back and start doing physical therapy and start, hopefully giving him, whatever it is that he wants, because it is really up to him, just like for all of us, right? We decide how happy we want to be. And but I do see his spirits. As you can see in his eyes, he's happy. We've been up there, my brother and I, and Sam and Dave and I went and visited him yesterday. And it's just a huge... That's all I wanted for Christmas. I feel like I talked about this. If I have, forgive me, but he's doing well. The other thing is I celebrated my anniversary. That was cool. 16 years of continuous sobriety. I've shared before that, it's been a journey, and it was funny because I ended up speaking at several meetings. I spoke for a guy over in Frankfurt, and then went and spoke at another meeting, and then went to another meeting, and they didn't have a speaker, ended up speaking at that meeting. And so I spoke a lot, and then came my anniversary, and which was on Christmas Day. Well, I actually spoke on Christmas Day. My anniversary was on the 22nd, ended up speaking on the 25th. So did a lot of speaking. I've said before, I don't mind sharing. My disease hates it, but I don't mind. But it's great, you know, great to reflect. I'm glad I got a lot of time to talk about. You know, I'm not a guy that will sit around and talk about my drinking because I think we're all familiar with drinking. This program isn't here to help me with my drinking. This program is here to help me with my thinking, and I've learned that over time. And so, fortunately, I was able to share a few times and not hopefully repeat too much stuff. But yeah, man, it's always, you know, it's a miracle. Was a moonlight mishap? You lost your party hat. Seems your lifestyle ain't so worthwhile after all. A heavy-hearted taxi ride and a walk on the wild side. Did your guardian angel let you down? Gonna lay low and play it straight. It's time to rejuvenate. Gonna kickstart your heart to come around. I can't tell you now. You've really gotten the blues. I can't tell you now. God, I walk in your shoes. Give me the sweet lowdown. You better get out the way. It's history made the heart. And now you're busted once again. I can't tell you now. It comes as no surprise. I can't tell you now. By that look in your eyes, give me the sweet lowdown. Social Distortion, The Sweet Lowdown. Yeah, I'm going to give you The Sweet Lowdown. I'll share a little bit of my story just to, you know, tie it all together. It is an anniversary. What happened, what it's like now. No, what is it? What happened? No, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I think that's the I think that's the basis for usually a good share. And I don't really, you know, I like to talk about what happened in my first stint of recovery. Right, because I did get sober March 31st, 1997, had it all together, felt like everything was going really well, and was not prepared for the attack that would take place, that I was shocked. Now, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe that happened, but, you know, honestly, it all makes sense. You know, I came in here for the wrong reasons. They were good reasons, but they weren't the reasons that were going to, unfortunately, keep me sober and headed towards serenity. They would keep me, they would keep the heat off me, right? They would keep me from having to face certain people and certain situations and explaining my situation over and over again. And so, you know, really it was an opportunity for me to go hide. And that's exactly what I did. And you know what? It led me to the rooms and it led me to get a sponsor and work a program, but it just didn't take me to serenity. And, you know, what I've learned today is serenity will keep us sober. Sobriety will not. And people are like, I don't understand that. I don't understand. How can sobriety not keep us sober? Well, the fact is, sobriety, the definition is to be free of drink. But, you know, once again, and I didn't even pay attention to this. I don't even know if I listed it. But drinking is a character defect, folks. It is not our problem. When we do it, it becomes quite a mess. But, you know, like my story and like everybody else's story, I didn't just drink, right? I'd use drugs. I cheated. I lied. I stole. You know, I had bad behavior. A buddy of mine just posted a video of North County, San Diego, where I used to live. Moved there in 86, and that'd be the really beginning of my drug habit on speed. But it was like a little video and clips of the town of Encinitas and Solana Beach and back in 1986. And I was like, man, I wrote it. That brings back a lot of memories. Too bad my behavior fucked it all up. I mean, I was living in paradise and I ruined it all through drugs and alcohol. But, you know, it's in the past, but, you know, it has been an interesting journey. And, but I do not just have a drinking problem. That would be under my character defects list. And I don't even recall putting it under there. I don't remember writing my list of character defects and having drinking to be one of them. But, you know, unfortunately, not understanding that, when that disease, that side of my disease came a knocking nonchalantly, I just folded and went with it. And today I realized that I have a decision-making problem. Drinking is just a character defect. It's a symptom of my problem. It's a byproduct of bad choices. And what I've learned through the program is that I'm a self-centered asshole and I don't have enough God in my life. And, you know, my whole definition of God in my life has changed, right? Because as a self-centered person, aware of being self-centered, but not willing to not be self-centered, that sort of person is always looking for something that's going to make their life easier and make them happier. And that would fall under me. You know, I always wanted a relationship with God because I wanted God to fix everything. I wanted a direct line to God so that when I got myself in a jam, I could just ask and God would fix it. And that just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't seek out humility with self-motivating it. It's called an oxymoron. I think that's what it's called. You can't have that if that's what's motivating it. But I never realized that. You know, I've never realized that. And, you know, 16 years later, changing my sobriety date, and I'll never forget my buddy Matt telling me, you know, because I had to change my sobriety. I got to. I didn't have to do shit. I got to change my sobriety date. But he suggested, listen, if you don't change your sobriety date, you'll never find serenity. And I'm like, I don't understand how that even, what do you mean? I totally get it today. I can't imagine trying to act like I had, because I really have 18 years from the last time I had a drink, right? And I came into this program because I drank. I got caught at drinking, right? So there was a point in my time where I would have said, what does it matter? I was taking pills. Those aren't drinking. So I really have 18 years of sobriety free of drink. But the fact is that I don't need any asterisks in my life, right? I don't want to say I did take pills, but I never bothered to change that, change the sobriety date. I just went with it. You know, you can't have serenity with that kind of baggage. And, you know, he suggested I change it. I went with it. And so 16 years, I have not had a drink or a drug, and I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful that I decided to change it. And at the time, self was like, do not do that. We just got 2 years. And but I did it, and here we are. And, you know, I feel like I am aware of serenity. I do not live in complete serenity all the time, but I do know what to do. I do know what kicks me out of it. And I do know when I've been kicked out. And luckily, hopefully, I know what to do to go back, right? And, you know, I went to a meeting, I guess it was on Friday, and it was a weird meeting. I don't know. This is my buddy. I've talked about this guy. You know, I really try hard to, him and I have gotten into it a few times. I try to not let that be a thing. I try to, you know, always shake his hand. How are you, man? Good to see you. But the tension, it's always tension with him and I. And it's just, I don't know what to make of it. But I was there on Friday, and here comes the tension again, right? And, you know, but he shares, you know, that, you know, he has, and this is a guy that is sarcastic. And I talk about it all the time. His sarcasm is a character defect. And he thinks it's just, you know, and I what frustrates, I mean, I guess I'm going a little rant here, and I apologize, but, you know, what bothers me is he speaks in the we, like he speaks for us. You know, we used to, you know, be able to take a joke, right? And I get annoyed because I don't want him speaking for me. That's not how I lived. But he speaks in the we, and he thinks that if a person gets annoyed by, and it was interesting because he sort of started off the meeting talking about, because the topic was going to be on peace of mind and that how he didn't have peace of mind and that he had said something to somebody that got very upset and wrote him a huge text about, you know, didn't appreciate that. I'm sure it was his sarcasm, which he thinks is really funny, but it pisses people off. It hurts people's feelings. And instead of, you know, saying, you know, I shouldn't have said that, I made a mistake, I apologize, he went on a huge rant about how this lady was too soft, and back in the day, we used to be able to put up with, you know, joking around down on the corner, the boys, and, you know, people don't like that shit. And we don't like it, especially we're in a program where the steps teach us not to do that, right? That's what these steps are about. You know, work the steps honestly, thoroughly, and on the other side, you should know what serenity is all about. And he doesn't, right? Because he has not worked these steps. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to badmouth, and I'm not trying to be like that, but it's, you know, it's an example of a person that can spend, you know, 33 years or however many years he has of sobriety and still have behavior that keeps us from having peace of mind and serenity. And, you know, we can do it, but it's because to me, like if I say something to somebody and he's, you know, because I sort of got into it with him after the meeting too. I was, I guess, toxic, I guess. I don't know what my problem was, but, you know, I'm like, this, you're a very sarcastic guy, man. He goes, that's sarcastic. He's like, you're being sarcastic. I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's hard to describe, but, you know, there is sarcasm. You can have fun. You don't have to, you can be sarcastic without hurting someone's feelings, right? I guess anytime you're sarcastic, it probably hurts feelings. But I think one of the things about sarcasm that drives me the craziest is that it draws me into being sarcastic. Like I fall into the pit, right? I get into the mud with it. And I, you know, I don't want to walk into a room and be like, hey, man, blind girl cut your hair. You know, hey, man, you looks like you've been eating a little extra. Man, belt looks tight. Time for a new car. Whatever these comments that people say, you know, that hurt our feelings while everybody's laughing. But I guess there is sarcasm. I don't know. It's tough. I really try to, because the point is, it's not that I try not to be sarcastic. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And on top of that, I don't want to worry that I hurt somebody's feelings. Because the only thing that gets worried is self, right? And if self's worried, that means that I'm out of serenity. I am not holding the hand of God. I am living in self, and I don't want to be there, right? Flat out, that's just the bottom line. That's the story. I don't want to live in that space. And you know, we were in the meeting. They were talking about, you know, you can't live in serenity all the time. You can't, right? You cannot live in serenity all the time. But I tell you, we can learn, right? We can learn how to try to, right? I don't think that is an unattainable goal. I think we should try to get close to it as we can. You know, I've shared multiple times on this podcast the links that I will go through to prevent myself from getting too caught up in self, and even going as far as to admit that I will be caught up in self for a period of time while I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing. And once I'm done doing what I'm doing, I need to recognize that I need to be back with serenity. And, you know, it's always just about inconvenience. You know, there's a lot of character defects that go on, but, you know, usually the one that the toughest one to deal with today is inconvenience. Inconvenience creates arrogance. Like Matt used to say, when you are arrogant, you are running by a different set of rules, right? And when you're running by a different set of rules, somebody's going to get upset. And so, you know, I do try to prepare my day, my week, not my year, right? I know it's important to stay in the day, and I do like to stay in the day, and I do think it's important, but There are times, right? I know that, you know, like even this week, or yeah, I guess this week, you know, I had looked at the week. I was going to be, I did work on Monday, which I knew is not a typical day I work. So I knew that would be a little out of character. But, you know, I was like, you know, it's fine because I'm not going to work on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then I was going to be working on Thursday and Friday. You know, a lot of people aren't. So, you know, self can be like, God, why do you have to work? But, you know, I said, listen, it's probably going to be a little bit spiritual mess. But, you know, we'll just go with it. One client at a time. Keep reminding myself this is the best thing I do all day. It's a fun job. Sometimes I just get that way because it's called the job, right? That's a job. It immediately sucks. But I have to remind myself this job does not suck. I work in an amazing place. I work with amazing people. I have amazing clients. I get to chat, have fun, and then they pay me. So I don't know how much better it can get. But for some reason, I can twist it up a little bit. But, you know, I say, listen, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we'll deal with it. And, yeah, and so I can plan it because I think early on, I was completely oblivious to what serenity was. When I started to understand it, I was completely oblivious to what would kick me out of it. And today, I think I'm aware of what serenity is, right? And I think I'm aware of what kicks me out of it. And I'm aware of what I need to do to get back into it. And I think those, you know, they're important because then you start planning it out to prevent getting kicked out in the first place, right? And, you know, it's a lot like life. It's sort of like living with your parents, I guess. But, you know, we have to follow the rules. And it just makes for a better life. And so the topic on Friday was peace of mind. And I have peace of mind today. Oh, my goodness. I am not boggled, right? I am not surprised. I am not shocked, right? Nothing comes out of the woodwork. You know, that used to happen to me a lot, especially in recovery, because I was still flirting around with my character defects. I'd have a few of them, right? And you sort of, you know, I don't know if it falls more under the seventh step, you know, shortcomings, right? Stealing the Wawa sugar packets, right? You know, because that is, you know, like we can give up stealing. Like if you're a thief, right, and you stole cars and shoplifted and all that shit, and you say, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. That is a character defect of mine. I'm going to stop doing that because I don't want to live in fear. That's great. But if we still steal the Wawa sugar packets, right, it can still keep us slightly sick, right? And so, you know, just starting to understand, you know, the little things that keep us from being serene. And, you know, planning it and not being in shock, right? I don't think stealing Wawa sugar packets are going to keep me, well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to ruin my life. I just think it's a great example of what a shortcoming is because until Matt told me that, I didn't quite understand, right? I understand a character defect and I understand trying to remove it, but I don't understand shortcomings. And, you know, people will have to tell me because I've been told that a guy thought that shortcomings were the beginning of a character defect. And I've felt like a shortcoming was the end of a character defect. Like I'm trying to give up smoking, right? But I'm going to keep an ashtray in my car. I don't know. However you want to look at it. But there seem to be sort of shouldery, fringy, edge kind of character defects that, you know, micro cheating, all that stuff. Can still keep us sick. But, you know, the point is that, you know, over time I've learned, you know, what not to do, you know, whether it's flirting with other people, right? Hopefully no one's doing that. You know, not saying anything inappropriate, but still, you know, saying something, right? Even though it's not the worst thing, but maybe, you know, would you say that in front of certain people? I don't know. Maybe that's enough to create fear and let go of the hand of God. I don't know. But it's all these little things that kind of, because in the end, serenity is the goal. You know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the wisdom to know the difference is key. Absolutely, right? And I think that's where we start to protect that serenity. And so, yeah, I do think it's hard to live constantly in serenity, especially in the world that we're in, but I do think we can learn a lot, preventive maintenance, right? You know, be prepared, be aware, you know, and if you get into pickles, talk to your sponsor about it, right? There's always ways and things that we can do to help. But yeah, so, you know, I shared and you know, like I said, my story is, you know, pretty unique. You know, it's taken a long time to get 16 years. But like I said before, I go to 4 meetings a week. I go to 3 meetings a week if I can get a fourth one in. I go to a fourth one. I try to keep meetings interesting. I went to the Monday night meeting, the meeting I sort of stopped going to because I started going to a new meeting with Big Books. Sort of getting sick of that Big Book meeting because some of the readings I get a little sick of. I forget, oh, yeah, this is why I don't like all the Big Book meetings. So I went back to the speaker meeting, I mean, to the step meeting. So listen, I have to keep changing around. I have no obligation to anybody. The only obligation I have is to my higher power and to my family. And, you know, to keep it fresh and keep going and not lose interest. And when I start to feel like I do, you know, double it up, right? Double it up. And so, you know, just a lot of meetings and not drinking one day at a time. And so that's cool. I'm grateful. But yeah, peace of mind today is what I've come to, you know, be most grateful for. You know, I can think about even times being in sober, or getting in situations and then being in fear. I hope I haven't done something I shouldn't have, you know. Hope someone doesn't call me out. You're like tortured, right? And you're not even drinking. So, but yeah, that's what's been going on. I want to try to get back into doing some more meetings a little more regularly. It's just been a lot going on. So, but I'll try. See what I can do. All right, let me read the Daily Reflections and then I am going to, I don't know, putz around. Football on today. Maybe I'll watch some football. I haven't really been into football for some reason. I don't know. Christmas was kind of a trip, too. It didn't really feel like it had all of its Christmassy power that it usually does. But maybe that's since the election and everyone's just sort of exhaling. I don't know. But all right, Daily Reflections. December the 29th. The joy of living. Yes. Therefore, the joy of good living is the theme of AA's 12 step. Yeah. 12 steps and 12 traditions. AA is a joyful program. Even so, I occasionally balk at taking the necessary steps to move ahead and find myself resisting the very actions that could bring me the joy I want. I would not resist if those actions did not touch some vulnerable areas of my life, an area that needs hope and fulfillment. Repeated exposure to joyfulness has a way of softening the hard outer edge of my ego. Therein lies the power of joyfulness to help all members of AA. Yeah. I mean, I sort of think that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, I have to, you know, pay attention. You know, my expectations when I came into this program, however many years ago it was, were not very high. Just don't drink and drive, and man, I'd be really happy. I know a lot of people come in with expectations, whether it's to get their wife or husband off their back, get the law off their back, you know, get their job back, you know, get off of court, whatever it is. But once all those, you know, big issues sort of fade away, we're sort of left with, you know, no expectations. And, you know, I think that's a lot of the times people will begin to wander away. And, you know, today I just, my expectations, I have zero expectations, honestly. I just want to be peace, love, and free of fear, right? And I think that really falls under the umbrella of peace of mind. And I love it. Didn't come for that, but that's why I stay. Hey, I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for letting me share, and we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.